On today's episode of Beyond the Arc, Ohio State basketball is officially in the danger zone after dropping to Minnesota on Thursday night, continuing their normal January skid. It is time to pound the panic button because it is getting very nervous on what this team is going to do in March. Losing three in a row now. Have a tough one tomorrow against Rutgers, at Rutgers. And you know they're going to be fired up after how the last time they played went with Tanner Holden's buzzer beater that ultimately should not have happened. There's some theories out there that he stepped out of bounds and then came back in and took the shot. And so they're going to be fired up for that. So Ohio State very easily could continue their January skid, their normal January skid, by losing four in a row to Rutgers tomorrow. 2 o'clock tip there. We're gonna get into that here. Talk a little bit more about the game on Thursday night, how bad it was, how it shouldn't have really happened. We're also going to talk about North Carolina and how they could be in trouble as well, with Armando Bacot potentially being out for a couple games and how that could affect them and their season. Because the Bubble Boys are officially back. They're on the bubble fighting for their life still again with this team to try and get into the tournament. It's sad for what came back, and they're continuing to not succeed exceed expectations, and being the number one team in the country coming back and losing. I mean, they had a chance to win against Virginia. They had a chance to win. But ultimately, I think if you have Bacot, you maybe do get that win. I don't know. But we're going to get into that. They got a game against Louisville today at Louisville, which they should win, knock on wood. But it's going to be interesting to see what this Tar Heel team does today without Armando Bacot out there. And we also have a new segment because today is a massive day in college basketball. So many great games. A tremendous slate. And it's going to be awesome. I got a few bets for you guys to place. If you want to follow along, ride with Rhyme Time. I don't know. I got some plays for you that could be pretty gnarly. So we're going to get into that later on as well. All right, that's it. Let's go.
If you like dropping bombs from downtown, you've come to the right place.
Ahead to Curry. Curry sets, fires, puts it up. Bang! Downtown.
Get ready for all things basketball.
Let it rain!
Where the hot takes get even hotter.
He's on fire!
This is Beyond the Arc with Jacob Reimer.
All right, everyone, welcome back for another episode of Beyond the Arc. As you heard in the intro, Ohio State it's scary hours right now. And like when you hear scary hours like that, you normally hear like, oh man, okay, this team is coming. Well, this team is not coming right now. They're falling behind. That is 100% a fact. This team lose to the bottom teams of the Big Ten, dropping to Minnesota. What a horrible loss. What could be considered the worst loss under Holtman, because that's how bad this Minnesota team is. Yeah, you can say Oral Roberts, but Oral Roberts was a tournament team. Minnesota, they're the bottom. It should not have even been a game. Ohio State, they were favored by 14.5, favored to win by 15 points, and they drop a home game to Minnesota. And like you can say that they were fully healthy. Zed played through his shoulder injury. I don't know what percent he's at, but like his shoulder's still like, I don't think his shoulder is 100%. I don't know what was up with this team on Thursday night. They just looked like they did not want to be there. Bryce Sensabaugh looked mad the whole game. Holtman even benched him to start the second half. I don't know what that was about. But Sean McNeil, senior leader, he said it best, that the Ohio State basketball team did not look like they wanted to play today. And that's 100% fact. They continued to struggle on the defensive end. They struggle with on-ball pressure. And they were giving up so many offensive rebounds to Dawson Garcia. Now, I mean, Dawson Garcia, He's not horrible. And he did go for 28 in the game, his career high. And he played at North Carolina last year and then actually had to step back, had some family issues he had to deal with, and it was around the midway point of the season. And North Carolina didn't see him the rest of the season, and he ended up transferring back to, or he ended up transferring to Minnesota, going into the Big Ten now. Now, it's bad for this Ohio State team because he is not as elite of a rebounder or a scorer as the other bigs in the Big Ten, which that makes it very concerning for what's to come. I mean, they got worked by the center from Rutgers. I can't remember his name. They still have to play Trace Jackson Davis, who has given them many problems in the past. They still have to play Hunter Dickinson. They have to play Zach Edey again. They did a fairly well job against him. I thought Felix Akpara, when Zed went down, did tremendous on Zach Edey. But I mean, his size helped. His size and length helped in that matchup. Trying to think of some other bigs that there are in the Big Ten that are still to come. Chris Murray from Iowa. So it's going to be tough. The continuous theme for Chris Holtmann and Ohio State basketball, the normal January skids are here. And now you can say, yeah, Ohio State got screwed because the foul at the end was definitely not a foul. Bruce Thornton got all ball, and we should have got free basketball. And I think Ohio State would have gone on to win in overtime. But they shouldn't have even been in that position, guys. They should not have been. This is the worst team in the Big Ten, Minnesota. They were favored by 15 on your home floor and losing to the worst team in the Big Ten. You shouldn't have been in that position. Yeah, you don't want it to come down to the officials deciding the game. I hate that 100%. It's horrible. It's annoying. And Big Ten refs are just, they stink in general. But it's, again, Ohio State shouldn't have even been in that position. Their defensive effort was very poor. They struggled to rebound. They struggled to shoot. I mean, for a team that's ranked number one in offensive efficiency, according to KenPom, let me pull up what they shot percentage-wise. It was horrible. I know that. It was less than 40%. But, I mean, it's number one team in offensive efficiency. That should not happen. That is not good. Now they're 2-3 in the Big Ten. Let's see here. Yeah, from the field, they shot 37.5%. While they gave up exactly 50% from the field for Minnesota, a team that's at the bottom of the Big Ten. That just can't happen. Ohio State shot 46.2% from the three. That's what they've done. That's one of their bright spots so far, that they shoot the three really well, and that's something that they didn't have last year. But something they didn't have last year as well was bad defense and the inability to rebound. Get the one stop, not allow second chance opportunities. And it's a continuous theme. I don't know why this team can't rebound under Chris Holtmann. They also can't handle pressure. That Purdue game opened up a lot of eyes in the Big Ten, because Ohio State, yeah, they can have the number one offense. They can have the number one offense in the country. But Purdue showed their weakness, that they can't handle pressure, especially late in games. So we saw it immediately after the Purdue loss, Maryland picking up full court from the start against Ohio State. And then Minnesota, they picked up and pressured. Rutgers is probably the best defensive team in the Big Ten. They have the reigning defensive player of the year in Michaela McConnell. We're in the danger zone, guys. Ohio State is 100% in the danger zone. After Rutgers, they got at Nebraska. Should be a winnable game, but I think we've always struggled at Nebraska. I mean, we had the Malachi Branham game at Nebraska last year, and that's what sparked him and got him going. Like, this is a very tough stretch of games coming up. We got at Rutgers on Sunday. Huge game there. If they can win that on the road, that's going to be the turning point of the season, especially after following this three-game losing streak, because this could quite possibly be their toughest game right now. It's the most important game on their schedule right now. Yeah, it's the next game, but it's always tough to play in Piscataway. It's Rutgers. They're probably the best defensive team in the Big Ten, like I just said. Then they got at Nebraska. They come home to play Iowa. And then they go back on the road to play at Illinois and at Indiana. And Illinois is playing great right now. Indiana, they're struggling here as well, but they're hurt. Xavier Johnson's out and Race Thompson's been out. So then they play Wisconsin, who's been playing well, and then at Michigan. So I don't know. I'm worried right now because that's basically to finish out January, and they've struggled on the road, especially like they always struggle at Indiana, and they won at Illinois last year. Yeah, that was the EJ Liddell flu game. Iowa, they've always got Ohio State's number because they can rebound and they can shoot. Like their comeback against Michigan in the final minute on Thursday night was insane. But honestly, if we're being realistic, right now, to finish out January, they might just win one, maybe two games. And that's going to put them on the bubble. And this team, it sucks because this team is way too talented. This team is way too talented to be on the bubble and miss the tournament, get in the NIT. Right now, Joe Lunardi has them as an 8 seed. And recently, they were like a 6. And I think the ceiling of this team could be a 5 seed, get to the Sweet 16, depending on where they're put at in their regional. If what Joe Lunardi put on his bracket actually happens, as they're the 8 seed, so they'd play a 1, and so they'd be like close to that 1 seed's home, so the crowd's going to be a factor. But Joe Lunardi had them playing Creighton. And Creighton, yeah, they're on a skid right now. But in Maui, they look like the best team in the country. They probably still have the best starting 5 in college basketball, I think. And then if they were to win that somehow, they'd play Kansas, the defending national champs, who are playing incredible basketball right now as well, winning basketball. They win close games. It's what Kansas does. It's scary right now. It's so scary right now for Ohio State. Every game matters. If they can, we're at the midway point of January right now. If they can finish January strong, we'll see what happens. I still think that this team, for how gifted they are offensively, I think that they can get to the Sweet 16. I think that is 100% their ceiling. I think that this is a second weekend team when they play to their potential. They need to get better at handling pressure. They need to get better at rebounding. They need to be better defensively in general. They can't just go and outscore teams, because there's good defensive teams that will get them. It's tough. It's so tough. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with this team. Big one tomorrow at Rutgers. 2:15 tip on Big Ten Network. Tune into that. It's going to be very, very big. All right, so now we're going to get into North Carolina. They got a game at Louisville today, 2 o'clock, right after Kansas and Tennessee. Or not, Kentucky and Tennessee. And the big news with North Carolina, they fell to Virginia after leading at halftime. Looked great in the first half, but the main story was Armando Bacot and his injury to his ankle again. It looked so bad. Thankfully, x-rays came back negative, so he shouldn't be out for too long. But the way this North Carolina team is playing, they're 11-6 right now. Definitely not what this team thought that they would be at right now. I guess you can say they've still been a little banged up, and I think that there's a lot of egos in play. Caleb Love hasn't been playing like himself. I tweeted, I need Caleb Love to be Caleb Love on Tuesday night. And after that, he kind of like flipped a switch, started making ridiculous shots, kind of kept Carolina in it and silenced the crowd and wouldn't let Virginia get going. But they've got, I don't know how long Baycott's going to be out. They really need him. They shouldn't need him today. Jalen Washington, he played incredible. Coming off the bench, 13 points, and he looked like a star in the making for North Carolina. He should be a four-year guy, unless he comes, like, because Baycott, I'm pretty sure, is going to leave after this year. I don't know if he has a COVID year or not. But Jalen Washington showed a lot of bright spots for the future. Like, Hubert Davis has said over and over, Jalen Washington is the best shooting big man that I've ever seen. And he's proved that. He's got a nice turnaround jumper. He can stretch the floor and shoot the three. And that's really what this team needs. Because without Baycott, because they always would get Baycott a touch down low. And if it comes back out, you got a wide open three. But they haven't had that wing to consistently knock down shots like they did last year with Brady Manick, like they had in 2019-2018 with Kenny Williams, Cam Johnson, those guys. I mean, Pete Nance, he's been hurt as well. He's been streaky with it. Leakey's been streaky with it, but he's gotten significantly better over the years at it. They need to use Puff Johnson more. I think Puff Johnson needs to have more of an opportunity to get open looks because he can shoot the rock, but he needs to have the confidence to shoot it. He needs to have the confidence to shoot the ball. Caleb Love and RJ Davis. RJ Davis is the savior of this team. If he goes, Carolina goes. And we need NCAA tournament Caleb to wake up for North Carolina if this team wants to go on any kind of run. I mean, he was averaging like 25 points a game in the NCAA tournament. But, again, they are in trouble right now because you don't know what to expect with Baycott being out. I think Jalen Washington is going to be huge. I love the way DeMarco Dunn's been playing. He needs to get confident again, or continue to build his confidence, and because he can be a valuable weapon for this team. Play that like Kenny Williams role on the 2017 team that won the national championship. Play great defense, knock down shots. He's a good defender, but he needs to be able to score. I think Tyler Nichols should get more of an opportunity. Seth Trimble, the freshman, he's been really good as well. One of the best perimeter defenders. Like, I loved the matchup between him and Kihei Clark on defense. But yeah, it's like this Carolina team, we'll see what happens. They got at Louisville today. Boston College on Tuesday at home. So getting at home, back in their home arena, if they don't have Baycott, they still should be fine. But then the big one on the 21st against NC State at home. They normally have NC State's number at home, but this NC State team is so much more improved. I mean, they just thumped Duke a couple weeks ago. So we'll see what happens. It's going to get very, very interesting. I haven't heard anything on if Pete Nance will play today. I don't even know if Armando Baycott will play today. But if neither of those guys play, I want to see two lineups. I want to see Caleb, RJ, Seth Trimble, Leakey, and Washington. And I want to see them go small a little bit too. Those same four, but with Puff Johnson. And then you can throw DeMarco Dunn in there a little bit. I don't know why Dontre Styles isn't playing. But this is the time that Hubert Davis needs to utilize his bench even more. They've been playing well lately. The bench has been, they've been giving a good spark off the bench. But guys are stepping in off the bench into a starting spot. So that's going to be room for these freshmen to show that they can play at this level. Tyler Nichol, he's the all-time leading scorer in Virginia. Give him a chance. Dontre Styles. You got DeMarco Dunn coming off the bench. I'm pretty sure Seth Trimble will start. Puff Johnson, he's got to be the X factor. That's the thing for this team. Like, last year they were the Iron Five, but they're not the Iron Five this year. They're missing one. They don't have Brady Manick. So they're going to need somebody to step up, make some shots, especially from the wing position. That's what That's what you've seen with all great Carolina teams in recent history that's won national championship. Justin Jackson, first team All-America. Who else? Harrison Barnes. In 2012, they didn't win the national championship, but they were, I think they were the best team in the country, even though Kentucky won with Anthony Davis. I think if Kendall Marshall doesn't get hurt, Carolina wins the national championship that year. Wayne Ellington, Danny Green, they had wing shooters. 2019, a team that if they were healthy in the NCAA tournament, I think could have won it all as well. Cam Johnson, Kenny Williams, Luke May, those wing and stretch four shooters that help spread the floor, open up the inside for the elite big man that they have, Armando Bacot. So it would be huge, especially for this game, for Pete Nance to come back and just be like kind of on a minute restriction, get a feel for things, and can like find a rhythm, knock down shots. Same with Puff Johnson, because they need that continuously for this North Carolina team to succeed. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to get into the new segment. All right, we are back here for the new segment that I have, and it's called Rhyme Times Wagers. So I'm going to do this every week, my plays for the weekend college basketball, because this is the time of the year when college basketball is at its prime with so many great matchups on the weekends. Massive slates from noon all the way until 11 o'clock at night. Just got massive slates for you guys today. We're going to see that here in the next couple weeks. You got Big 12 SEC Challenge coming up in a couple weeks. So yeah, let's go ahead and get into it. Rhyme Times Wagers. Let's go. So first up, I'm just going to give you a few straight bets. I got West Virginia plus 4.5 at Oklahoma. They hung around with Baylor. West Virginia did, and their defense is great. This West Virginia team is back. And I just think the Big 12 conference is just so tightly contested that West Virginia should lose this game by 4. Like, they could win. I'm confused for how that they've been playing this year. I don't think Oklahoma's all that good. And they did just hang around with Kansas, and Kansas came back against them in the final couple minutes. But West Virginia plus 4.5 on the road, coming off a loss, kind of in a must-win scenario to keep their season alive and NCAA tournament hopes alive. I like West Virginia plus 4.5. NC State money line, they're favored by 3.5 right now against Miami. I love this NC State team. Like, they're scary good. They can contend in the ACC. They've got a dog pound of guards. Their guard play is incredible, and they've got a solid big on the inside. They're favored by 3.5 right now, but I just, that could be too many points. Miami's pretty good. I don't know how, like, I don't think they've done all that well on the road. They lost to Georgia Tech a few weeks ago, and Georgia Tech's not that good. They got Isaiah Wong on the, like, their first team ACC wing. I think it's a safe bet to, the safe bet is NC State money line. The odds aren't the greatest, but you're still going to win like $18 if you on a $10 bet, which is what I'll be doing. But I think you can go NC State minus 3.5. The odds are better for that. They play well at home, as you saw against Duke a couple weeks ago, and they've got better guard play. I think it could be a close game, so that's why I like it, because it was originally 2.5, and now it's up to 3.5. If it continues to rise, then it could be scary, but that's why I'm going with NC State moneyline. I think it's a safer bet, so there's that. Wisconsin plus 4.5, they've been without Tyler Wall, and Big Ten, it's always close. This, it's concerning because Indiana's lost like 4 in a row or something like that. And they've been without Race Thompson. They've been without Xavier Johnson. So I'm confused on why they are favored in this game. It's weird. Vegas always knows. I'll be on the lookout to see if anybody from Indiana is coming back today. Because if they are, like Xavier Johnson or Race Thompson, I may just go Indiana money line. But Big Ten, it's always close. Wisconsin, they're coming off a close loss to Michigan State, and Michigan State's been playing really well lately. So that's why I like Wisconsin +4.5. Providence +6.5. The Big East, it might be the best conference in basketball right now. Top to bottom, they are. Every game is close. At Creighton today for Providence, the 6.5 may be too much. I think it's going to be a close game. Providence, they are playing really well. They smashed UConn. So it could get interesting. They beat Marquette. Marquette's really good as well. I think it could be close. But Creighton is in desperate need of a win. They've lost two in a row. UConn and Xavier back at home. So that's where it could be kind of scary. But Providence just seems to find a way in these games. I don't know if they'll win. I don't think they'll win. But I think it'll be a close game. Arkansas money line at Vanderbilt. I don't know much about Vanderbilt, so that's why I think Arkansas money line is just a safe bet. It's 3.5 right now, or 4.5 right now. So that's why I think Arkansas money line is the safer bet. Clemson money line, home against Duke. It's 1.5 right now, so it's basically almost a pick 'em. Clemson, they might be a basketball school. Like, not gonna lie, their basketball team is really good this year. Duke has struggled on the road. You can go Clemson -1.5, but I think I'm just going to go Clemson money line for this one. Arizona -4.5, coming off a loss, shocking loss, over the weekend, at Oregon. Oregon got thumped by Arizona State at home, and Arizona beat Arizona State at Arizona State by like 9 early in the season. It's 4.5 right now. I think I'm taking the points there. Arizona -4.5. And then USC money line is my last straight bet. Boogie Ellis. They got the guard play. It's a close spread against Utah, but I like USC money line in this one. And then I got a little five-team parlay for you. Creighton money line, Kansas money line, TCU money line, USC money line, and UCF money line. The odds for that parlay is +790. So that'd be a nice little payout there if that five legger is to hit. So that's what I got for you guys. Creighton at home, need a win. I love it. Kansas, it's always tough to play at the Fog. TCU coming off a bad loss to Texas on the road when they were up double digits, losing in the final minute. USC, I love this team. And UCF, I threw in there, they're underdogs. They just beat Memphis. And I just threw it in there to mix it up a little bit. I'm just feeling about getting weird, you know? So if you want to follow these plays, go ahead and do them. Last night was brutal. So we're looking to bounce back today. And you can go ahead and place these. It's now legal in Ohio, so I thought doing this segment would be pretty cool to do. Just my best college basketball bets for the weekend slate, as we got a lot of key matchups coming up here in the coming weekends. So if you want to go with them, if you want to ride with me, go ahead. If not, you are lost. So, all right, that's all I got for you guys today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, this is Beyond the Arc. Rhyme Times Wagers. Let's get it. Let's have ourselves a Saturday. Bouncing back. Positive vibes only. Let's get it. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.